Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell with Carver High Mafia. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our toll-free hotline, 855-212-4, CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news, you can save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Mark McClune is with us again from Channel 5 in the Valley in Phoenix, CBS's affiliate out there. How you doing, Mark?
Good. Good to be back talking Cardinal football with you.
My man. So tell me what the reaction has been coming off of Kyler Murray's performance last night against the Raiders, and then tie it into his first game when he got so much love and everyone was talking about how great he looked in his short appearance, and then he came back and had kind of a stinker.
Yeah, well, it's been overwhelmingly negative today. I mean, I've had people tell me around town they don't even want to watch sports. They don't want to turn on the television, the radio after watching that game last night. I think people are still so shell-shocked from last year with Steve Wilks and Josh Rosen. There's some Cardinal fans that haven't actually bought into Murray Mania. We've been kind of talking on the air about the crowds haven't been as big at training camp. There's still people going out there, but this is definitely, it was such a risk. And, you know, they've turned over the organization now the last 2 years. I think people want to see it work before they actually buy in. And like last night was not a good omen for it working at all.
What is the deal with this whole clapping circus?
Yeah, I mean, I think Gruden, if you go back, there might have been something placed in the ref's ear there about whether or not how that works in the NFL. I don't think he's a big fan of that. If you go back to those QB universities he did with the college guys coming out, and, you know, maybe there was some gamesmanship there. I mean, Kyler Murray's been doing that. I mean, he did that all last week. It wasn't even an issue. And I've been watching football now for 40 years. I've never seen a quarterback get called for a false start, much less two of them in one game.
So, you know, all the reaction of this team over the last 24 hours, as you mentioned, has been pretty negative. But nationally, they've been basically mocked at how boring
right. They
look. And meanwhile, obviously, you know, Kingsbury is allegedly this offensive genius. Another one of these guys, they say, is so ahead of his time. It's not even funny. And then there's a lot of people that think he should have never got the job. Which is it?
You know, I think we're going to find out a lot more opening day against the Lions on September 8th. I mean, we'll know in the first 10 minutes. Kingsbury, his very first press conference, I asked him how much you're actually going to show in the preseason, and he was pretty candid. He's like, we're not going to show a lot, which you would think, well, I mean, the rest of the league has 15 more weeks to figure out what you're doing, and they're just kind of preparing for week one. But I think last night they were just trying to get some exercise, get out there and run some plays. And the Raiders really wanted to send a message. You know, Hard Knocks was out here, really wanted to set the tone for their team. I honestly think it surprised the Cardinals. Now, I don't think the Cardinals' offensive line is very good right now. I don't think the defense is very good. But I don't think the Cardinals are, you know, going to be as bad as last night's game was all year, but I don't have very high hopes right now. Now, that might all change if Kyler Murray, you know, puts it in second, third, fourth, and fifth gear, but we definitely didn't see that last night.
How much does it hurt him, Mark McClune with us from Channel 5 in Phoenix, to not have, like, well, Patrick Peterson, he can't play, but at some point that's going to, I think, be another problem for them, that he's not going to be able to play at the beginning of the season. I don't care about preseason and training camp.
No, absolutely. And then Robert Alford, 2 days ago in practice, went down with a broken tibia. He came over from the Falcons. He had that interception against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl and was running all by his lonesome when the Falcons had the lead for almost, you know, the entire game until Brady brought him back. And, you know, a lot of the talk here is then he's going to kind of lead the defense. He's out an extended period of time. He might be out the entire season. So the Cardinals are down there. They're top corners. They're starting corners. Byron Murphy, they drafted out of Washington, who's you know, got a lot of talent, but he looked like a rookie last night. So yeah, I think they're going to struggle mighty defensively, and they've been gashed. The Raiders ran it right at them, right at the teeth of their defense. Went right down the field in the opening drive, and the Chargers did it the week before.
What happened with the front office executive that got popped for the Dewey?
Yeah, I mean, it's very head-scratching, and I mean, I know that they're embarrassed about it. I mean, it's the second straight year. One of the people that make decisions over there, Ron Menninger, who's the chief operating officer, he was picked up last weekend, and, you know, it was front-page news on Sunday, the day after they had to cut Darius Filon, because he pointed allegedly pointed a gun at a woman. I mean, it's just we've had the graphic up on the screen on the news. The Jailbirds, it's one misstep after another right now. And you were hoping Kyler Murray could kind of change the narrative on Thursday night, but I mean, it's been just a horrendous week for this franchise.
Do they still, and I don't know, because I used to live in Flagstaff, do they still train up there at Northern Arizona?
No, they did for a long time. Actually, I just did a 25th anniversary piece on Buddy Ryan in 1994, was up there and just training camp in Flagstaff, and it was kind of fun seeing the old video. But they came down to the Valley probably 2012. There just wasn't the, you know, the MRI machines, the x-ray machines. They have everything at the stadium. So it's almost kind of it's not a very – there's not a whole lot of excitement at training camp. They're inside their home stadium. I mean, it's free to the public to get in, but like on a Tuesday, there's not you know, big crowds. And candidly, I thought there would be bigger crowds to watch Kyler Murray.
Who do you think will end up having Mark McClune with us from Channel 5 in Phoenix, a better career in the NFL? Josh Rosen, who they just said, see you later, bye, thanks for nothing, and then they brought in Kyler Murray. And no one, we haven't seen a kid play, really. Two preseason games to me is like having a fat girlfriend. I honestly, I don't care about his preseason numbers. I want to see him when it matters. But you saw Josh Rosen play there, and now he's right in Miami. Which guy do you think will end up having a better career, if any?
Well, that's certainly the million-dollar question. I mean, heck, if you go by last night, Mike Glennon's going to have a Hall of Fame career. I think it's going to be Murray. We watched Rosen last year. I think there's the arm talent's there. He was a little slow on a lot of his throws. And, yeah, I mean, you go back to Peyton Manning's rookie year, and he didn't exactly light it up. So I'd like to see Rosen get in a good situation. He was a good guy here. And just be able to kind of take advantage of you know, his talents. I don't think he got that opportunity last year because the offensive line was so bad. But I still think Murray's special. I mean, I'm from Texas originally. I've been watching him since he was a freshman at Allen High School. You know, there's something there. Now, how it translates this year with an offensive line that got beat like a drum last night against the Raiders, I don't know. I mean, if you look at the first couple possessions against Alabama in the Orange Bowl in the national semifinal, they really got in Murray's face. But, I mean, I thought he was, you know, a gamer. I thought he brought him back and just kind of ran out of time, or he would have had Oklahoma in the national championship game.
So, Mark McClune with us from Phoenix. Do you think T-Sizzle has much left in the tank? How do you think he's going to do with the Cardinals?
Yeah, you would hope. I mean, you line him up on one end, you line up Chandler Jones on the other end, and you think that they're going to meet at the quarterback. I mean, I know he's been wanting to play in Arizona for a long time, and originally on draft day, I thought he was going to get drafted by the Cardinals, and they passed him over. They drafted two guys that I think put in a combined 3 years here, and that's always been kind of one of the ones that got away for the Cardinals. So, you know, he still looks the part. We haven't seen him do much in preseason, but I think he's biding his time. And you know, I think we'll know in the first quarter of the first game if the Cardinals are game this year. They have a lot of holes, but, I mean, if you think about those, you know, Chandler Jones and Terrell Suggs on each end, I mean, they've done it in practice. You've seen them get to the quarterback. You would think that would be a tremendous asset for the Cardinals.
How much wiggle room will Kingsbury get in year one from fans that have been watching this team kind of stink it up for a while now and their fuse is short?
Well, I mean, I thought more, but after last night, I think patience has grown so thin in the Valley because of just how bad last year was, and that was on national TV. If that was a local broadcast and it was on at, you know, 8 o'clock on a Saturday night here, and people are still kind of trying to beat the heat and out of town, I don't think it would have been as big a deal. But because it's gone national, I think everybody's going, man, that was really bad, and this looks like it could be a really bad decision. So I think there's some heat. I think he's going to have to, you know, walk out there in week one and dial some plays up and, you know, showcase his quarterback and exactly why they made the decision to bring them both in.
So do the Diamondbacks have anybody excited at all at 500 where they are right now, 3 out of a wild card? Do you think they have a shot?
Gosh, I mean, we've been saying that all year. Once we ride them off, they come back and win a couple games. I mean, I think the Greinke trade was kind of waving the white flag, but then they go out and have a good series in Colorado last week. They're going for a sweep, and Archie Bradley gives up a walk-off home run to Nolan Arenado, and that kind of brings them home on a downer. I mean, right now they're down 4-1. The former Sun Devil Mike Leake came back in a trade from Seattle and thought he might be able to give them a little boost. But, I mean, I think everybody around here just thinks they're a 500 team. They think, you know, GM Mike Hazen done a pretty good job despite having traded Zach Greinke and Paul Goldschmidt within the same year, which sounds crazy. But they really needed to restock the farm system. You'd hope some of these guys kind of pop. But, you know, when you're competing with the Dodgers every year and then you see the Padres paying all that money to Machado, and you are kind of thinking, okay, what's the future here for the Diamondbacks? And it was just 2 short years ago they really set the valley on fire and went to the playoffs, and that seems like a distant memory at this point.
Mark McClune with us from Channel 5 CBS in Phoenix. How do you think Sumlin's Wildcats will do? They start next Saturday. I think they're playing Hawaii in Oahu, unless I'm crazy.
No, you're right. We should go to that game. What do you got on tap?
If I go to that game, I won't come back.
Do the remote out there. I'm thinking about, taking the Channel 5 news truck. But
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, well, go ahead.
I mean, you know what I mean? I'll go with you, and I won't come back. It'll be the last they ever hear me at this place.
No, same deal here. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. With Arizona, someone really hasn't done a whole lot of talking and, you know, PR. Like, Rich Rodriguez was up here in the Valley all the time trying to drum up interest in the Wildcats. It's been pretty quiet.
Right.
Now, Khalil Tate is, I mean, 2 years ago was one of the best, you know, stories in college football with the yards he put up, and last year it just didn't happen. But he's kind of like a guy I'm really keeping an eye on as a dark horse to make a run at the Heisman, just because, I mean, when he gets out in space, I mean, he's like a video game. So I'm very interested to see what happens there. I know, I mean, last year's Arizona State game was fantastic. And, you know, I didn't want him to stop playing, and Tate was awesome in that game. So, right. You know, I'm as interested to see if he has a good year, or if this kid, Jaden Daniels, the first true freshman to ever start for Arizona State, the season opener, I mean, how he looks, because he's young, but man, when he takes off too, it's something to watch.
They start the following week. Saturday it starts, and then the following, like Thursday or Friday night, they're playing Kent at home in Tempe. How do you think the kid will do this year? That's kind of a risky move.
Yeah, no, it was. And, you know, they had an upperclassman on the roster as well. Dylan Sterling Cole had a shoulder injury, but, I mean, Daniels just beat out 2 other guys they brought in, Ethan Long and Joey Yellen. I mean, it was a 4-way competition. I mean, and Daniels just, you know, some of the stuff he does is jaw-dropping. Now, he hasn't been as accurate when I've seen him at times, but, I mean, there's something special there as well. You know, and you don't want to compare people, especially a freshman making his first start, but he took off and ran one time, and I was like, did anybody just see Randall Cunningham run right by? I mean, he doesn't have that, like, long throwing motion like him, but he's pretty accurate. He gets it out quick.
Right.
And offensive coordinator Rob Likens and Herm Edwards have just said that he sees the field like a passer, but then he has that ability to run too. And the Sun Devils have a really good defense coming back. This could be a fun year, but we've been saying that for years, and it's been tough for ASU to put it together.
How crazy is it that Herm Edwards and Marvin Lewis are on the same sideline?
Well, I mean, you look around the Sun Devil coaching staff. I mean, you have Kevin Mawai, who just went in the Hall of Fame, Antonio Pierce, Marvin Lewis is hanging out. I mean, you think with all that experience, they would be able to build something special. You know, they're getting better recruits, but you just hope it's not a situation where it's a bunch of, you know, great football minds and football players, and the talents, you know, can't do what they want them to do. But I think it's getting better and better every year. I think Antonio Pierce has been over recruiting California. He was coaching high school over there. And if you're a player on the West Coast or anywhere, you look at that, you know, that coaching staff, and you're like, man, those guys are straight from the NFL. Why would you not want to go there? And I mean, the weather's great out here in Phoenix. So yeah, it's it's interesting. I'm very interested to hear kind of how Marvin Lewis influences the game. I mean, Herm kind of oversees it. He's the CEO. He makes the decision to go for it on fourth down. But, you know, he lets the coordinators work as well. So it's there's a lot of sizzle over there for sure, especially on pro day as all the NFL guys came in.
Respectfully, I got 30 seconds. Did you see that video of Devin Booker lighting people up today that was out on, like, social media? He was just absolutely going off playing basketball against some dudes. I mean, some of the moves he was putting on were sickening.
No, he's special, and I think he's motivated, and it has not gone well in the desert winds-wise. And when you've talked to him, he does not want to be seen as a loser. That's his quote. So we'll see what happens this year.
Mark, always a pleasure, brother. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight. And we'll see what happens with Kyler Murray this year and Cliff Kingsbury. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll catch up with you again soon on the bench.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, Mark McClune of Channel 5 CBS in Phoenix, 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. Dave in Tucson, Arizona. By the time I get to Racially Profiled Arizona.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, bottom line, you know, I'm a big neck guy, born in 63, so a little year late.
Right.
But all I got to say is, you know, a few weeks ago, Mickey Callaway says we're going to use our starting pitches. We're gonna have them go to 115 or so. And last first half he did it, and now he did it again. He takes Matt's out with 79. We could have won that game. He took out 90 pitches in a freaking designated hitter place for Syndergaard. And then what? Bases loaded, brings in Diaz to give up the walk and a single. I mean, this is getting to the point where we're losing games because Mickey Callaway does not. He's no pitching guru, buddy. He doesn't know. He's clueless as a manager. I don't know. I'm happy with the Vulture, Regan, whatever his name is. But come on now. Let's win some games. Stop taking out our starting pitchers that are better than the relievers.
So like a week ago, they had won 14 out of 15 games and eight in a row. And they were saving his neck. And now a week later, they lose or struggle in Atlanta. And where was the game tonight that they were losing? In Kansas City. That's bad enough to lose to the Royals. I'll give you that. But so from 1 week to the next, you know, last week he's, you know, literally they're going to save his neck by the streak they're on and that they got into the wild card and that they were the hottest team in baseball. And now a week later, you want him fired.
Fired. I want him to be accountable for the things he
said. So what does that mean? Does that mean they should fire him?
No, not fire him. Sit him down and say, hey, leave your pitchers in. Don't take them out with 79-90. These are your horses. Guys used to go 125 before I thought about taking them out.
Too bad those days are long gone, Dave. Those days are long gone. You know that. I mean, honestly, what do you want to go back to the 80s? I mean, they don't let these guys do that anymore, and certainly not on the Mets. I mean, there's very few guys in the majors that they just give that, loosen the leash and let them go a buck 10, a buck 20. It doesn't happen. These guys, they yank them out now. That's all there is to it. You're lucky if a guy gets through the fifth inning. I mean, listen, I agree with you that tonight that, Mafia said that, you know, tell him what you said. I walked in a room and, you know, they were bringing Diaz in and you thought it was the end of the world.
Yeah, because, I mean, this guy, honestly, I saw an article over the weekend. I forget exactly who wrote it, but it was dead on to me where they said what they should do with Diaz, but they will not. They send him down the minors for a couple weeks until the September call-ups. Let him get his confidence back. Let him dominate those kids down there and get back. He's been bad all year. But he keeps going to the well with him. And he even came out with these quotes that Tim Healy of Newsday came out with on Thursday afternoon where he said, I bet 85% of our decisions go against the analytics. And that's how it's always going to be because that is just on paper. Doesn't take into account the person, is a human being, how he performs these big spots, all these things that a manager looks at. Okay, I'm not the biggest analytics guy in the world. I don't like all these ridiculous stats they come up with, just make up stats to fuel what they want.
Right.
But still, when you see numbers like Diaz has put up or some of these other guys, and you just keep throwing them the same situations, you're asking for bad results. You're asking to lose games like this.
Definition of insanity.
Right,
you keep doing the same thing again
and
expect different outcomes.
Right, the game's within reach. Yeah, the guy comes in and loads the bases, but most situations, sure, go to your closer.
Did he load the bases or were they already loaded?
He didn't load the bases. They're already loaded, nobody out. But he's failed so many times, you don't put him back in that situation again.
So who do you want to go out there? They got to put somebody out there. Who do you pitch?
I guess Lugo, even though he blew it the other night, because well, he's been better for them than
Diaz.
Okay,
so let me get this straight. So at the deadline, they got Marcus Stroman. And what they really should have done was gotten
bullpen. Right,
good.
They had good starters. They should have gotten back-end guys.
Because they already had good starters, and Stroman sucks. And then, let's face facts, he's the most overrated pitcher ever.
Well, he pitched good for them last night. It was the bullpen that blew
good for him. He has never done anything except be average.
Yeah, he's 3-0 since he got to them.
Congratulations. You know. What they needed was bullpen. If the guy can't close a game down, they got problems. How far are they out now of the wild card? I mean, they still
were 3 back going into tonight.
Is that what it was?
I believe so.
And then, so they lost the game, right? Yeah, they're 2 back. So the Nationals have a 2.5 game lead for the first one. Phillies and Cubs tied for the second one. Brewers 1 back, Mets 2 back. So it's not the end of the world. I think it's bad to lose to the Royals. I will say that. No offense, but it is. You got
to
win those games.
You need to go to sweep that. When you've gotten coming off Atlanta, you got to go play Atlanta again next week. You got to play Cleveland, who's hot.
Well, that's the thing.
This is a 3-game series. You need to just take all
of them. That's the thing. When they play bad teams, they've been winning.
Right.
And so they got to beat bad teams, which is what the Royals are. So you got to beat them. And they didn't. And that's all there is to it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Who's the best football handicapper? PharrellOnTheBench.com. That's who. College football, pro football plays all season long. I kill it. I rack up wins every week like nobody's business. You got to get in on it. Plus baseball through the World Series, boxing, MMA, every big fight. It's all on PharrellOnTheBench.com. Every pick, every game, every day, every play. The best picks, the best price. Buck a day, son. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Football starts next Saturday, college. And if you're not on, then you lose. Just get on the site. I mean, what are you waiting for? 855-212-4CBS to get on the bench. JaVale in Virginia, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Scotty.
Hey, man.
Hey, can I get a cognac and ginger, please?
Can we get him a little cognac as the popo flies by his crib?
Yeah.
So what's up?
Honestly, check this out. I got a question, man. He in Redskin country. The Trent Williams ridiculous.
All right, all right. You don't have to cuss at me. I got to deal with all that. So there you go.
Okay. So we need to train him, like, as soon as possible for the best wide receiver or the best free safety we can get, coupled with the highest draft pick, okay? When it comes to Dwayne Haskins, if you take a quarterback in the first round and you don't have a proven quarterback on your team, and proven, I mean, a Pro Bowl quarterback, a consistent playoff quarterback,
right,
or a quarterback who is taking your team to the Super Bowl, you have to start him. Case Keenum is what he is. Colt McCoy is what he is. So what is the issue with us not put, even though Trent Williams is not there, why can't we put the young kid in and see what he can do?
I think at some point this season, JaVale, you're going to see him play. And so far, last night he looked good. He threw a nice big bomb. Like, you know, I think it was like 40, 50-yard pass for a touchdown. So he looked good last night. I know they were very excited about that. I think they are like every NFL team in the sense that if they can put a veteran in, they will. And Case Keenum is that guy. Colt McCoy, I think Haskins can move, frankly, ahead of him at some point or another. You know, McCoy certainly had his fair share of problems with injuries and everything. He broke his leg last year. We'll see how it all plays out. Trent Williams, they have dug in on this guy. It's pretty apparent. And, you know, I have no problem with your thinking. Trade him for picks and you know, whatever wide receivers you had mentioned. But I think that they've been really immovable on this topic so far, right? The franchise has they have not budged on Trent Williams, and they are, you know, dug in. So that's an ugly situation, and it's certainly not going to help them. It's certainly, I think, going to hurt them in essence. I have said over the course of the last few weeks, And this is just me, but what do I know? But I think they're terrible. So I just don't think they're a good football team, and I think that they got a lot more problems than Trent Williams. And I think that the future is certainly positive with Haskins. I think, you know, looking down the road a little bit, I think that he's got a bright future. We'll see if it, you know, all comes to fruition and pans out that way. But I don't know about, my guess is they're not going to start him week one, right? Like, Carver High, wouldn't you think Case Keenum will get that gig?
It certainly seems like that's what they're going to do. I mean, I'm kind of with Javale. I mean, if you don't have anybody that, you know.
Is that good?
Right. And
Case so he's saying, what's the difference?
It is what it is. But, yeah, what? Just play the guy. Just play him. That's what you do now in the NFL. There's
so play him and lose.
There's no keeping guys on the side for 2 or 3 years anymore. That just doesn't work anymore.
Michael in South Carolina.
Hey, Scott, for real. How you doing?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Scott, for real. Hey, I love the show, CBS Sports Radio number one.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, Scott, I'm going to ask you a question. What's going on with the Chicago Cubs losing tonight 3-2? I'm kind of worried because St. Louis is right behind them.
I mean, they still are tied for a wild card any way you slice it. And, you know, when it comes to the divisional race, they're a game behind St. Louis. The Cubs are failing miserably right now. They've dropped 4 in a row. They've lost 7 of 10. They're struggling. It is what it is. Obviously, I think that they're in the middle of it. They're in the thick of it. And they simply cannot afford to let, the Pirates walk off on them. It's embarrassing. You're talking about what many believe would be a playoff team. You know, just right on paper, the first thing you're going to do is look at teams in a National League and the two wild cards. You're going to say the Cubs will be one of those teams, right? Meanwhile, they're losing to the Pirates. And I get it. It's only one game. It's only a Friday night in mid-August. But they add up, and they can't afford to lose. It's like the Mets. They can't afford to lose to the Kansas City Royals any more than the Cubs can afford to lose to the Pirates. Now, I have to look because I've lost track. Like, the Pirates are so bad, I can't even take them anymore. So when I used to care about every, game they play. That was in Pittsburgh tonight at PNC, that walk-off win. I didn't know where the game was. So it's at home. They got it done. Newman with the RBI single, walk-off style to win the game. So it was, I guess Cole Tucker drew a base loaded walk and then Newman hit an RBI single and that won the game. But the Pirates have been so dead. They've already, I've already buried them. I'm done. I can't even take it anymore. So I'm on to the Steelers. And I'm ready for that to start. They play the Chiefs tomorrow night, I think, at Heinz. Tony in Vancouver.
Hey, Pharrell, if I was the owner of the New York Mets, I'd be going absolutely crazy. Are you kidding me? I'd let that whole coaching staff go.
Yeah.
I mean, they were loaded. They were supposed to win the NL East. They pick up Diaz.
No, they weren't. They were not favored to win the East.
Well, they were up there with them.
No, they weren't.
I mean, they picked Diaz up, who was the most dominating closer in baseball for 2 years, and now he can't pitch. Look at Bob Melvin. Look what he's doing with Oakland and the Tampa Bay.
Right, so let me get this straight, Tony. So you want, and I, this is the same conversation I was having with the other guy. So you last week for 3 weeks they won 14 out of 15 games and 8 in a row, and they're in the wild card and they are right there and they're playing for a postseason wild card berth. And now a week later, you want everyone fired.
No, for 3 quarters of the season, they stank, okay? Now they're on a run. Yeah, okay. But,
So what do you want them to do? You want to fire everybody right now at the end of the season?
Well, I think that team is better than what they produced this year. I think they underproduce. I don't think this coaching staff motivates players like Bob Melvin at Oakland. They shouldn't be winning, but they win every year. Because he puts a chip on his shoulder. He says, you guys are the misfit kids, and they keep playing hard. I don't know what the problem with the Mets is. They've had ace pitching, and they got a good team, and the NL East isn't really that strong. I mean, Philly's down, and they should be winning that division, and I think they stink. I mean, they should be better.
Yeah, I don't. I actually, listen, fair enough that no one, it would appear, you or anyone else, likes Mickey Callaway. There you go. We just saved a lot of time there, didn't we, with my answer? No one likes him. So fire him. Will that make you happy, Tony? So, like, it's so ridiculous having these conversations with people that want to fire everyone every, you know, the day the wind blows and fire everybody. Let's fire him. He's terrible. It never ends. Did I not have two guys tonight in the last 10 minutes say fire him? Or, and even then they won't even admit they said it. They're like, no, I don't want him fired. I just
want him to sit down and tell them how to
have a meeting with him.
Do this. They've had meetings
all
year.
Stop.
And what this guy was just trying to say, let me just tell you something. This was going on with the Mets long before Mickey Callaway got there, okay?
Can you imagine, like,
the Mets have had the worst owners ever.
The
Mets have had the same problem for a long time, and it's the Wilpons. Okay?
They're the problem.
Doesn't matter who the GM is or the manager or anything else. They're the problem. You agree with me, Mafia? You're a Mets fan. Have they not been the problem?
They've been terrible.
So there you go.
They're one of the worst owners in all sports.
They are. That's the problem.
So you could change all you want. You could change the players. You could change the manager. You could change the GM.
That's what they always do.
This is the same thing. This isn't just baseball or the Wilpons. You could find this in every sport, okay? The Bengals will never be good because the Skins aren't going to be good with Snyder there. The Mets won't be good with the Wilpons there. The Pirates will never be good, right, with the crew that they
never,
got running that outfit.
Never.
You know,
the Nuttings are just as bad as the Wilpons.
There's certain owners in every sport. You're not going to win.
Did you ever think, seriously, Mafia, that the Mets were going to win the NL East this year with the Braves, Nationals, and Phillies, and the Phillies getting Bryce Harper? And honestly, the Nationals still had Scherzer, Strasburg, and they got Corbin, they got Soto, they got Rendon. I mean, I never once. And the Braves with Acuna and Albies, they already were a playoff team. I didn't put the Mets anywhere near those teams.
No, at best, I thought they're gonna chase for a wild card like they're doing because they came into us with great pitching, but the lineup that they invested in was barely invested in. I mean, all the money they got tied up in Cespedes to not play. They had a lot of unproven guys or a lot of younger guys that had some nice, runs in the last couple of years, but aren't guys that you would, say are going to be leading a team and bringing them to the playoffs. Guys like Conforto, guys like McNeil, now Alonso. No one expected what Alonso's doing.
Do you think they'll fire him if they don't make the wild card, Callaway?
I think so, because he's going to want his own guy in there. Van Wagenen was brought in this year. Callaway was already there. He had to keep him. When he's making comments like, 85% of the time we're going against analytics in today's baseball, that gets you booted.
So you think the GM's going to fire him?
If they don't make the playoffs, I think he will.
It says here, according to those that know, 40% chance they have still to make the wild card. 40%. There you go. That's not good, if you ask me. But it's better than the Phillies, 17%. Meanwhile, am I crazy? Are the Phillies not ahead of them? The Phillies, that makes no sense. They already have a wild card.
You could take that thing
and stick it in your ear.
Throw it wherever you want to throw it.
Throw it out in the backyard.
Those things mean absolutely nothing.
Al in Virginia, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Scott, you just talked about the Nationals, and, they may have the best frontline starting pitching in or one of the top three in the MLB. But what do you think about Rendon and how much it's going to cost to sign him? And can they sign him?
Well,
and are the learners like Wilpons?
Well, I guess in some capacity. But they did offer Harper $300 million. So, you could call him cheap all you want. That's not cheap to me. So, and Rendon had the tie-breaking RBI double in the eighth inning that won him the game. The opener of the set against the Brewers tonight. They've won 5 in a row, 8 of 10. They're playing great baseball, of course. In this streak, they started the winning streak at Citi Field with a win over the Mets. After losing 2 in a row to them, they won the last game, and then they swept the Reds, and now they beat the Brewers. So they have a 2.5 game lead for the wild card. They're great. They're in a great position right now. And I think, Rendon is, obviously Soto and Rendon are their best players. I think Rendon is going to be worth a lot of money, but I don't think, frankly, it's going to be anywhere near Bryce Harper type money. So I don't think it's that big of a deal, to be honest with you. I think that they should do their best to make it happen. To me, what do you think he's worth, Carver High? If you were to look at Rendon in a free agent deal Is he even worth $200 million in a deal?
No, no, no.
So like a hundred and something.
Go that crazy.
$100 million for Rendon.
I think a little less than Arenado.
So I'm willing to give him that to stay in D.C. And I don't think
they're not going to give it to him.
Oh, so they're going to let him leave too?
He's leaving.
So what you're suggesting to me is that the Nationals will never pay anyone.
Well, they paid their pitching.
They paid Scherzer.
Strasburg. They paid who's the guy that signed this year? Corbin.
Corbin.
They paid Scherzer, of course.
But no position players make money.
Well, they still, coming down the line, are going to have to pay Soto and Turner. That they've got other guys that are younger that they're going to want to pay.
Why do you think, and when we come back, you can talk about it. I was reading this article in the USA Today this week about baseball shrinking attendance numbers, staggering how every ballpark is empty. And what they're doing about it, baseball teams, they're, you know, shrinking the stadiums.
I got an idea. Let's send them home earlier when the game's 19-5. Let's send them home early.
Aaron Boone idea. Do you think he got that from his puppeteer, Cashman? Do you think he told him, listen, go tell him to stop the games in the fifth inning?
He definitely didn't get that from Brian Cashman.
Is he out of jail yet after the police drew guns on him? Is he out of jail yet?
I think he's okay.
So Cleveland actually shrunk their baseball stadium. It's like 34,000 now. It's like a party going there now. They got like all kinds of action going on around the concourse. Is that accurate that they're throwing axes there too at the games? They have everything going. I saw all this. They got a two-story indoor-outdoor family area, baseball-related activities. They got a social space, an outdoor bar. They got a gathering area. I mean, they got an area that you look out over the city. That's what they're doing at baseball stadiums now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.